Chester asks how we might complete this statement about Jesus. The Son of Man came. How would you complete the sentence? Have a little think. Maybe preaching good news. Anyone think that? Maybe to establish the kingdom of God. Maybe to die on the cross for our sins. All of those things are good. Here's how the New Testament completes that sentence. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, from Jesus' own lips. This is why I came. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, from Jesus' own lips. Luke 19, verse 10. And both of those statements, notice, are why he came. But then we have this in Luke chapter 7, verse 34 and 35. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. Here Jesus is saying something about how he came. Jesus was into food. He's at least saying that, isn't he? And meals. And the social context they create. We see that again and again throughout the Gospels. And he was into it in a radically different way than the religious people expected him to be. He wasn't afraid to own it either, was he? And he wasn't unaware even of the reputation that it produced about him in their eyes and perhaps the eyes of others. Yet he was confident of the wisdom of this approach. Wisdom is proved right by all her children, he says. And so that word wisdom should recall to us our theme verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So make the most of every opportunity is at least, I hope, as we go through this series, helping us to see some very practical things as we go along that we need to own together, that we need to pay attention to, that we need to be thoughtful about, that we need to sort of aspire to as the Church of Jesus Christ if we are to take these opportunities, although that's not strong enough, is it? If we're to make the most of the opportunities we have for the mission of Jesus here in Kingborough. Now, we've seen together already that mission begins with prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And that then leads to being watchful for the opportunities that God presents as he answers those prayers about doors being opened and so on. And today we're going to build on that with this particular type of opportunity that we have called hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, in the New Testament, the word we translate as hospitality or being hospitable means love to strangers. In the language of Colossians 4, verse 5, it would be love towards outsiders. And our big idea today then is this, that the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, welcomes outsiders in. And hospitality is instrumental in that happening. So let's have a think about it together. First point then is this, that hospitality begins in your heart. Read a whole bunch of books, or dipped into them actually, a bit overstating it to say I read a whole load of books preparing. But dipped into them. One was called Open Heart, Open Home. It's a good starting point for thinking through this activity of hospitality. Because assumed in this idea of hospitality is the use of resources for the good of others. Use of what I have to help you or care for you or show love to you. There's cost involved in time, in money, in resources, in energy, in planning. And so what is the motivation to pay that cost? And this is where the activity of real hospitality is a very, very good thing for Christian discipleship. This motivation question distinguishes, on the one hand, if I can call it, the true gold of hospitality from the fool's gold of what I'm going to call entertaining. And we find the foundation of that true gold in the famous parable of the Good Samaritan that we read together, that Klaas read to us in Luke chapter 10. And Jesus told that parable in response to this question, and who is my neighbor? This expert in the law whom Jesus was answering wanted to justify himself. Jesus was going to say, yes, I know, I've been doing that. These people, yes, I've been doing that with them as well. So he'd been wanting to justify himself. And so he asked the question, Jesus asked him this question. He knew the law, he knew it, said this, verse 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your money, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that's correct. Well done. You got that right. Go and do that. But who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gets out the blockbuster and he rearranges this guy's universe, really. And what he does is brilliant, isn't it? You see, we think we're being challenged in this story as to whether we see or not the poor, battered man as our neighbor. Or whether, like the priest and like the Levite, we think more of maintaining our own warped sense of holiness instead. But Jesus changes the angle. Verse 36, he says, notice, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. He answers the question, who is my neighbor, with the statement, be a neighbor. That's really the punchline. And that's a big old punch, isn't it? The Samaritan was an outsider. And this outsider was being a neighbor to the insider. Wow, this Jew. Jesus inverts the culture and subverts it at the same time. The question is not who is or is not my neighbor, so that I can then rule certain people out. Oh, well, I don't have to worry about them. They're not my neighbor, or they're not my neighbor. Jesus' new question is this: what is it to be neighborly? And the point is, you, me, anyone listening, this expert in the law, whoever, be a neighbor. You see that? And it meant to this Samaritan who was being a neighbor, put yourself in the other person's position. Put yourself into this battered man's position and let that determine how you act. What would you want if that were you? I dare say none of us would want people walking past on the other side. The heart of hospitality is being a neighbor. And that is different from what I termed earlier as entertaining, I think. Our usual approach is to gather people we like for a planned, non-routine activity, involves some preparation, and ultimately, whether we acknowledge it or not, it involves some kind of rating of some kind. Oh, that was a great night, or we want it to be a really great night from the attendees or for the organisers. You know, we don't mind a bit of praise. Oh, that's fantastic. Thanks for putting that on. We'll do it for you guys next week. And it goes around like that. That's what I'm thinking about. And Jesus makes the distinction in Luke 14, where he's also in another scenario of hospitality, when he says to his host, I mean, would you have Jesus at your party if he's going to drop these sorts of bombs? When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. We're like, great, aren't we? But Jesus is talking about something deeper and something bigger. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You're going to be repaid, he says. Don't miss that. But the heart is different. It's the heart of the neighbor to reach out to others. It's not self-interest, it's other interest. So did you notice in that scenario, the neighbor mindset? Hospitality begins in your heart with those who want to be neighbors being neighbors. Do we want to be neighbors? Well, be a neighbor. And it looks like this. So as we get into this, let's examine our hearts. See what's in there. How are we thinking right now? Are we prickling away? Are we seeing something clearly? It's so important, this stuff, for the mission that we're on together with Jesus, because it is, isn't it, how God reached out to all of us in Christ. Think of how many reasons God had to walk past you and I. Keep us at arm's length, give not touch us with a barge pole. Pick any other phrase you like. He had plenty, but he didn't act on those, did he? And so that brings us to our second point. Hospitality creates connection between outsiders and insiders. Now, it seems a bit awkward to talk of outsiders and insiders, doesn't it? But that's what we have here in Colossians. Our verse from the passage that's the basis of this series. The mention there of outsiders assumes that those hearing the words Paul writes are insiders. They are the people of the church in Colossae. And outsiders are perhaps everyone else out there in Colossae. Those who are not part of the church. And so Paul urges the Colossians as insiders, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. And so, I mean, in my mind, and before I'd thought of the kids' talk, I had this scene in my mind of the classic Christmas movie where the person who's become isolated for whatever reason, burnt bridges, usually some type of being an idiot or being misunderstood or something like that, they peer in through a slightly frosty window into the warm and the cozy room with its log fire and its Christmas tree and presents and festive decorations and a cat and a dog just getting on for once on the mat and people enjoying the vibe. Now, I'm from the UK, so that was our English Christmases. You don't know anything about that here, so maybe you do from Holland. But and outside it's cold. It's dark. It's lonely. And the desire that you're led to see as you watch that scene is for the outsider to be brought in, because that's great. An outside is not. And I think there's something that resonates with us, isn't there, in that? And I think there's something that for us as a church to resonate with. But I wonder what you think it is. It's hopefully not, and just stay out there, you're not getting in here, whoever it is looking in through the window, frosty or not. We've got a lot more windows now. Hopefully, don't stay outside. Come on in. Come and join with us. But we do need to consider what it looks like and feels like to an outsider. As we put ourselves in the outsider's shoes. Most of us have just walked in here today into this building. There's quite a few visitors here actually, so you can give us the lowdown on this. But Many of us have done it so many times before. We know where everything is. We know what's going to happen. We know that at least there's a few people here, if not many, that we know. It's pretty comfortable for us to just walk in here and, you know, we even know when, you know, we don't even have to obey the little the countdown thing. We'll just come in a bit after that. We all love each other here. We can do that sort of stuff. It's all comfortable, even when we're being mildly disobedient. It's comfortable. We can do that. That's not what the first-time visitor experience is, just in terms of this, is it? They don't know where anything is. Don't know what is going to happen. Don't know anyone, really. Don't know where to sit. Don't know when to stand. Don't know when to sit down. Don't know what they're going to hear. Don't know how they're going to react. And on and on and on. And honestly, if that is you here today, good on you. We're absolutely thrilled to have you with us. And I hope you'll be able to feel that, not just hear that, as we say it. And we definitely want anyone who comes, because this is why we come, to come to know what we know, how good and powerful life with Jesus is. The deep peace, the deep joy, the utter confidence it gives us in this sometimes brutal world, how it transforms us in what we think and say and do in all sorts of beautiful ways, and we get to share all of that, and then how Jesus gives us this thing called hope that can never be taken away. So thrilled that you're here, because we want to share all of that with you and we want to share that with each other. That's what we do. And we'd love that to continue. Because it'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it, if strangers remain strangers. And so here in our church services, we want to be about hospitality, because our big idea, the gospel welcomes outsiders in. It's good news to come in here. We want that to be good news. But not just here. In fact, it's not really the main place for hospitality, is it really? What about the home? What about the rest of our lives? What did they have in New Testament times? That's where they met, in homes all the time. From time to time, they met some other places too. But why did they do that? They did that because they were creating this connection. And that place could be a connection between outsiders and insiders when hospitality was in their mind. Showing love to those who they don't know, who are just coming in from the outside. And so that's why we invite outsiders to join with us and become insiders, if I can use those slightly unhelpful terms. And isn't our society crying out for community? We hear about it all the time. Aren't people all around us crying out for authentic community? Loneliness, we're told, is an absolute epidemic. We've been through COVID, and that just attacked, didn't it, the idea of community at its very core, with the sense that it is now dangerous to be together. Fearfulness, massive extra anxiety, became obstacles that some still haven't been able to overcome. And look, with this sort of building project, even the state government generously have funded part of this project. And why have they done that? Because they are interested in the idea of community building and that this thing might be instrumental in some way in that. We'll get back to that a bit later. And so we could think then of this church building, we must think of it as a place of connection. And we will. As we seek to launch in August this year is what we're planning. We do want to invite and welcome people here. We want to connect with our community, and we get to do so with this once in a generation opportunity that we have here. It's brilliant. I hope you're praying about it. I hope you're getting excited about it. But there's more. There's more. Because we do have our lives and we have our homes. That's all the church in Colossae had. And there are many other opportunities too. Opportunities where connection is created between insiders and outsiders. And we should want to do this as outsiders ourselves who have been welcomed in. Because the gospel welcomes outsiders in. So that's what hospitality does. It makes connection between outsiders and insiders. So let's look at making hospitality happen, finally. And so I get it. Life is busy. Where are we going to fit all this stuff in? Another book that I touched on was called Organic Outreach. A guy called Kevin Harney talks about what he calls the 2-degree rule. I might just take a moment there. Just hit pause. We'll just talk amongst yourselves. Maybe say. Might just pray. Can you join me with prayer, folks? Lord, don't know quite what's going on with our dear friend. We pray that you'll be with her. We pray that your hand will be on her. We pray that she can be helped in the best possible way. We thank you for love. We thank you for concern. We thank you for help. And we pray that she'll get all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Making hospitality happen. So in Organic Outreach, a guy called Kevin Harney talks about what he calls the 2-degree rule. So picture a compass in your mind. It always points north, at least if it's working, okay? It always has that direction. Even if you jiggle it around, it snaps back to north always. So this guy, he works with churches. And they show him all the things that they're doing, right? We got this on, this on, this on, this on. We do this, that, and the other, and all the rest of it. And really, he says the picture's always similar. Churches spend most of their time and energy and resources on those who are already in the church. That's like the north, right? The needle snaps back to that. To insiders, really? And that's not all bad at all. Has to happen, all that stuff. Maturity, developing, growing, and all the rest of it. Discipleship, all of that stuff. That is the north. But what it's not pointing to is the outside community. Okay? So many programs are set up at Due North. And that's where all the energy goes. And here's the opportunity. With what he says with organic outreach. He says, look at what you're already doing that is existing primarily for insiders and grab that needle and tweak it at least a bit out to include outsiders. 2 degrees. Now, we know that 2 degrees doesn't look like much, but when you've gone down a journey, it turns into quite a distance away. So, nudge the direction a bit towards outsiders. For example, we do meal trains for those in need in our church family. Do that when babies are born and in other circumstances and so on. So, can we do that for others outside? Can we grab that needle and just vector it out a little bit? Now, he wrote his first book for churches. Then he wrote another book for families. And then he wrote the same book again, but for individuals. Same thing. Work out where everything's pointed, all the things in your life, and take the opportunity to just tweak things out to include outsiders. It's a helpful point, isn't it? If magnetic north on the compass is a focus on ourselves, whether church or family or just me, then have a look at so many things that are on in church life, in family life, and in my own life. And how can we grab that compass needle and just direct it out to include others? In all of those things, or in most of them really, we can include, should include, this hospitality mindset. Just to wrench that needle away from purely Christian fellowship to include the outside community. Now, I've got a big example here that we've been sort of reflecting on a little bit for what we're going to do later, but I think it's helpful to give you a vision of what might be possible as we think about church. Okay? This is the Share Life events guide. Now, look at this. On the front cover of this, it says this: what's on in Kingston for you, your friends, and family? And you think, gee, Graham, thanks for putting that together. It looks like you've done all the work and we've got a whole program of events. This is actually Kingston upon Thames, southwest London. Okay? So it's not us. But it's an example of what can happen. This is 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks of events seeking to connect with the community. Okay? And here's all the events over those 3 weeks. It involves regular activities as well as special ones. So I'm going to just barrel through them. But they'll be on a sheet of paper you can have a look at. And I'll actually have 10 of these out there for you to browse through while you're having a coffee later on, just to get an idea of what this could look like. Monday Tots, Tots Disco, Tots Music Cafe, Hub Club, Street Dance Taster, Tales from a Hacker, Family and Personal Online Safety, that one is, GCSE English Revision and Tips, International Cafes running both a bonfire night, a food tasting and a World Cup special. This happened last November. Watching the World Cup on big screen, baking through the Bible, tea mixology workshop, escape room for the youth, escape room for everyone else, fun wine tasting. Is there any other type? Men behaving dadly, walking group, building a garden terrarium, testimony evenings including running man and an ex-England women's footballer, Kingston history walking tour. I mean, that sounds a lot better in Kingston upon Thames than it does here, but I'm sure we could do something. Conservation group, curry cook-along, poetry and spoken word evening, board games, cream tea, whiskey tasting, we've got to be able to do that one, quilting exhibition, baby first aid, art class, the Bible through art history, sign language class, pamper session, sing from scratch choir, Latin ballroom dance taster, board games, essential oils make and take, tips on home improvement, mixed football session, jewelry workshop, kids football, baby sleep training, girls hair braiding and nail art for beginners, and finally, Lego meetup. And that's what a church probably about our size is put on in November last year. And it wasn't the staff doing it all. It was the church owning a hospitality mindset, understanding that the gospel brings the outsider in, understanding that hospitality creates connections between those who are inside, those who are outside. So let's get practicing, right? We're going to come up with our version of that. That's the plan and the prayer. But let's get practicing now and let's get involved with this when it's going to happen. We've got to be in this. Let's get practicing at home. Let's get practicing in our lives. Let's team up. If we feel a bit new or unsure, team up with those who seem to do this stuff effortlessly. Team up with them. Put some stuff on. Cultivate a neighbor mentality using hospitality. It's about creating these opportunities for relationships where God can work. Now, just going to wrap up. A guy called Roy Joslin said this: it's possible to detect a marked contrast between the New Testament Christians and those of today in relation to the spreading of the gospel. Put simply, it is this: they did it, we talk about it. I want us to let that land on us. They did it, we talk about it. So there's no getting away from the fact that sharing the good news of Jesus, evangelism, seems hard to many of us. But that's the reason why we need to keep talking about it, encouraging each other in it. If we don't talk about evangelism and mission, we'll never do it. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, to some extent, these things are sort of in our comfort zone. They're the magnetic north on our compass, if you like. Mission and evangelism, the sharing of this message of good news about Jesus, is necessarily about those who are not already here. We have to move the compass point to point to them. Those who have yet to come. So we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep spurring each other on because it's what Jesus told his people to do right at the start, didn't he? He said, go make disciples of all nations. He said, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And other people didn't just talk about that, about us, did they? They did that with us. We heard the gospel from others. And God used their efforts to bring us to him as we heard about Jesus. And so we can't just talk about it. We can't just think about it. And to be honest, this stuff, hospitality, that's the easy stuff, isn't it? Don't you reckon? Don't you reckon we can all be about this? Yeah or no? Maybe we're just, you know, it's too hard. I think we can all do this. We can all create and be a part of creating those settings where gospel ministry can happen. And we're praying about it and we're watching and there's hospitality. You see how God's using and giving us these things to be able to be about his mission. So because we love Jesus and we love that somehow we've managed to be able to hear and respond to the gospel ourselves, and because we love other people, because we want to be neighbours, let's grow in our hospitality. Make the most of every opportunity, including this one. Amen. Father, in this moment of quiet, please help us just to reflect on the way that you have brought us to yourself, the lengths that you went to achieve that, to bring us in if we are your children. And as we do that in this next minute or so, please help us to think also about those whom you have placed us so close to, really, who we can invite in. We'll just reflect for a minute or so, and then Christina will continue in prayer for us.